After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's a painless night as I lay here sleepless. It's a painless night and I keep waiting for you. There's no victories when you're not shining. And now my soul is as dark as the sky. And maybe I don't even need you. And maybe I don't want to see you. And maybe you're not nothing but a dream. Because it's a painless night as I lay here sleepless. It's a painless night as I'm waiting for you. There's no victories when you're not shining. And now my soul is as dark as the sky.
Yeah!
God, you're really good at this, Morgan.
I was like, how can I find it? Because, like, I don't know how music works. I just know, like, there's a chorus and then there's the thing that happens where you try to, like, mix it, make it make sense. So then I just listened to a whole bunch of emo songs on the way home and I'm like, how can I, like, continue this?
That was great.
It was just, you know.
That was great. I mean, a lot of people, I think, in the chat are talking about, man, Deuce really added to it with the air guitar and went into the drums where I threw the drumstick up at one point.
Did you?
And, yeah.
Is that emo or is that like...
I was just vibing off your emotions. I was very like intense at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then I did a hair whip.
Oh, like yeah.
And then I went into the drums and then when you changed a little bit, it sounded a little happier. So like...
Oh, it didn't get happy. It was all like...
By the way, I love that I'm trying to take credit for air guitar and air drumming when you just produced an awesome song.
Give me a hell yeah.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. Recording this on a Friday night. The Kings on the second night of a back-to-back. Take on a Celtics team that has 60 wins on the season. Mm. They've got 60 wins for a reason. Now 61 wins. The Kings could not make shots tonight except for De'Aaron Fox. He tried to push the Kings over the top, getting them on a nice big run in the fourth quarter when the Celtics were having their deep bench in the game. The Kings took the lead in this game. They were up 100-99. Some good defense. Keegan Murray couldn't secure a rebound. Mm. It's knocked out of his hands, deflected by Sam Hauser. Lands in Tillman's hands. He puts it on the floor. Stop and pop. Mitty makes it 101-100. The Kings still had a chance, though. Fox with an incredible look in the mid-range. Missed. Keegan put back. missed a great look. Colby second chance, whacked in the face. No call. Final, Kings lose in Boston tonight, 101-100. They fall to 44-33 on the season. This podcast presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Check out TrustNorthwest.com. I'm Juice Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
I'm fine. Yeah. It's a Friday night. It is what it is. And now I'm here talking about it.
It's amazing for a team, these two teams, right? Completely different spots. Mm-hmm. Boston just got win number 61. They have a 14-game lead on the team that's behind them in second place. They're up 14 games, okay? So they're at the point of the season where they're picking guys to rest. Tonight, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, yeah, you're looking nicked up. We'll go ahead and sit you in this one tonight. They decided, even when the Kings got back in this game and made a big push, Joe Mazzulla did not look to his bench to go grab Tatum, to go grab Drew Holiday, to go grab Al Horford or Kristaps Porzingis. Horford, Porzingis, Holiday did not play in the fourth quarter. Tatum played 2 minutes and 36 seconds. He just let that bench unit out there of Pritchard, Tillman, Mykhailiuk, Brissett finish that game along with Sam Hauser. And they found a way to get the win.
I loved it. I loved it because all I was thinking about for those guys and that experience, experiencing those minutes for those guys, even though they were obviously losing the lead against the Sacramento Kings, you're playing against the Sacramento Kings starting unit for the most part, right? And it just finding a way to battle through and to still get that win for those guys, incredible. And then for the Sacramento Kings, I thought, you know, my one takeaway of being more on a positive note, I guess, would be them doing what they needed to do against that unit. And that was coming back. And I wish it had finished with the W for them, because then it's like, really, we can be talking about, wow, they did what they needed to do. Joe Mazzulla did not go to any of his starting unit. He went to all of his bench guys, G Leaguers, however you want to, you know, put it. Define it, and the Kings found a way against that group. Well, they almost found a way.
Yeah, it was so close. With 6:06 to go in this game, Morgan, it was 98-79. Well, the Kings ended up making a nice push. It was a 10-0 run. It ballooned, and it made it 98-89. Then Fox hits a three. It's 98-92. At this point, there's 2:27 left. I'm going, I wonder if Mazzulla's just going to put his guys back in to get the win. But on the other hand, you're going, for what?
Yep.
I mean, they have 60 wins. That's an incredible mark. Mm-hmm. They still have the lead. Why risk any type of injury for a game that really doesn't matter? Like, if Boston loses tonight, even the fans in Boston are upset. The media in Boston is not going and losing their minds because they lost to the Kings. They're going, oh, well, the bench guys were in. It doesn't matter. They want to win come June. That's what matters to them. So Barnes hits a three. It's 99-95 with 2 minutes to go. Then Fox, man, 99-97 after a layup. He hits that three to give the Kings the lead, 100-99 with 27 seconds left. A bank three. Fox finished with 40 points in this game. He had 20 in the second quarter. He had 13 in the fourth. In the game, he was 7 of 13 from three. Now, this is where it gets crazy. So it's 27 seconds left. I thought the Kings played some great defense on this possession, Morgan. They were flying around. Sam Hauser puts the ball on the floor. Keegan Murray with a rear contest. Sabonis came over too, but Keegan Murray knocks that ball away.
Does a great job.
Gets his hands, both hands on the ball, and instead of just bringing it down, where I think it still gets deflected in this situation, but instead of bringing it down, you see his head shift, and he notices De'Aaron Fox, and he decides he's going to go throw it to De'Aaron Fox. Well, Sam Hauser did not give up on the play, deflects the ball, lands in Tillman's hands. Keegan with a hard closeout on him. Tillman gets by, hits a contested midi over Harrison Barnes. The lead goes back to the Celtics, 101-100 with 7.4 to go. What was your view on that play with Keegan? You've seen the replay now.
Hey, great defensive start, right? With the way that he didn't allow Hauser to have an easy look at the basket, strips it away. And I'm totally with you, though, in those moments. It's like, you couldn't take one more second to just be like, I need to just corral this rebound. I need, or you know, whatever you want to call it. I just need to make sure I'm grabbing onto this basketball. And this is a prized possession. Can't let go.
Like, so you're saying grab it and come down fast. But he was kind of in the air off balance when he caught it. And he's kind of coming down. And dude, as he's coming down, you see him.
Protect that basketball. And or if you're not going to protect it, like, get those elbows out, right? Like, you're just ready to just be in that triple threat position, whatever. Again, it is what it is. It came down to the, I mean, who are we to say, like, he wasn't trying to do that in the timing of Hauser? Oh, good. I'm glad that you're pulling it up. So, the swipe. Yep.
I mean, you could see on, and we're showing the replay on the YouTube thing. So, the knockaway, the ball is in the air, grabs it. He just shouldn't have turned the throw at the Fox. That's a mistake.
Just bring it down. Just.
But my point I've said, though, even if he brings it down, mm-hmm. Hauser is doing a great job shadowing the ball. I do think Hauser ends up deflecting it.
Poking it, something.
But even if he pokes at it, does it land in Tillman's hands? You know, this is.
And it could have landed somewhere else, and still they could have gotten something. Again, we are just being just so breaking this down little bit by little bit here, even though this isn't why the Kings lost. But in these final few plays, it was how the Kings could have won, right? On the things that they could have done differently right there. It was tough to see. When Tillman made that shot, now let's go to this. Shot was made. Sabonis is about to take the basketball out, pass it in De'Aaron, and you can just see the coaches are trying to call this timeout. And De'Aaron and Sabonis are like, no. They wanted a push. They wanted to go downhill. And I get it. I understand their thought process with that because the confidence in themselves. And I also understand the thought process of a coach being like, well, no, let's advance the basketball and get a good half-court possession. I get both. I get it. But it sucked that it ended like that. I kind of thought about this. I'm like, would it have been easier to just see the Kings lose by 20? Or was it easier seeing them lose like that?
Again, this is where, I don't know. I'm just not going to be overly emotional about them losing to the Celtics.
Like, I know.
And like, no one wants to acknowledge this type of stuff. I'm like, I went into this game going, the Kings are losing tonight. Second, I have a back-to-back against a team who doesn't lose. I saw Jaylen Brown and Derek White not playing. I went, all right, maybe they can make it a game. But this is a good Celtics team. I mean, a great Celtics team. Like, what are we saying? They have 61 wins. They're now 34-3 at home. And so my big takeaway from tonight was I was frustrated by all the missed shots. It seemed like everything was short, and I felt like the Kings were getting great looks. Outside of De'Aaron Fox, no one can make shots consistently. The Kings shot 51 threes in this game, Morgan. They shot 51 threes. They were 17 of 51 from three. But let's break this out a little bit.
Break it out.
Fox was 7 of 13 from three. Mm-mm-mm. The rest of the team was 10 for 38. And they got looks.
Oh, yeah.
This wasn't like, hey, man, they're forcing some shit up. Like, they got good looks tonight.
And you say they, Keegan with what? How many misses? 2 of 10.
Keegan. 2 of 10. Davion, 1 of 4. Kessel Edwards, 1 of 4.
Davion's looks were so good. Like, those are one that Lyles, he's been making.
1 of 5. Yep. Sasha, he was 2 of 6, and some of the misses he had were wide open in the corner. I think he had 3 misses in the corner that were wide open. So these are great shots. These are shots you want. Harrison Barnes, 2 of 8. He got good looks. So, you know, it's like, hey, you live and die by the 3. There's sometimes I totally feel that way where I get irritated with the team, but I'm like, dude, they were getting these off doing the right things. And when you're doing the right things to generate these looks and you're missing shots, I get annoyed, but I can live with it. So what I did like tonight is they competed, and they didn't just fold. They got back in the game.
Sure.
The stuff at the end is frustrating, but then you have to play perfect in that regard.
Yep, and I'm so with you on There's been times where Mike Brown has said, you know, if those shots are open, we want our guys to shoot them. And I'm like, I don't always agree with that. But tonight was one of those nights, like, absolutely, you shoot all those shots. And especially when you have such big bodies like KP in the middle or even Al Horford at times. Yeah. And it felt like these guys were struggling when they did attack the paint and try to maybe attack the rim. So it was nice seeing a lot of those spray threes, the paint touch spray three, the ball just moving well to get an open three. I like the way that we saw that. And I love the way that shots were starting to be made in that second quarter when they started going back on a run. Like that was second quarter, right?
Yeah.
That was nice to see from the Sacramento Kings. So like for so many punches by this really good team, by the Celtics, it was nice to see these moments from the Kings. There was a lot. I feel like I was most annoyed in the first quarter.
Oh, yeah, the first quarter, where at the halfway mark of the quarter, 6:31 to go, I noted this. It was 6-3 Sacramento. Boston was 1 of 10, 0 for 6 from 3 with 3 turnovers. Sacramento was 2 of 9, 1 of 5 from 3 with 3 turnovers. So at the end of one, then Boston, of course, they start 1 of 10. Then they make 9 of their next 10 shots. It's 27-15 after one. In the second quarter, that's when De'Aaron got it going. On absolute fire. And it was knocking down threes, but it was also attacking. If you looked at his shot chart in that second quarter, you go, oh, he's in the paint. Yep. He's got the mid-range. Oh, and he's hitting threes. He hit a couple of nice threes over Horford. Just got him on a little move, step back. He was 8 of 10 in that second quarter. He knocked down 4 of 5 from 3. 20 points for him. And at the half, Sacramento was able to cut it to 54-50.
One of my favorite things was when he was seeking out Horford, right? Because he felt confident in being able to shoot that shot over him. He felt like Horford was going to give him the space that he needed because he was like, I got to respect his drive, but also I have to use my length to maybe get somewhere with his shot. And I felt like his length wasn't a threat for De'Aaron Fox beyond the arc. And that's why he felt good shooting that shot over him.
So I know we're bouncing around a little bit because we're talking about the frustration, some of the missed shots, but then it's 101-100. The Kings have the ball. You mentioned Fox and Sabonis are like, oh, don't call a timeout. The Kings elect to call a timeout. Fox is able to get a great look. And
it's a great look.
The shots he made tonight, you're going, how did he miss this one? Yeah. Like, this was the one that you think he nails and the Kings maybe escape with a win. He misses it. Keegan has a chance, offensive rebound, misses
and
on the
Keegan
putback.
Keegan had made some of those early on in this game, too.
Keegan did have 11 rebounds tonight, which is good. He had a double-double, 10 points, 11 rebounds, but the shooting was just completely off for him on the second half of back-to-back. And then Colby Jones had that third-chance opportunity. Mykhailiuk absolutely just hits him right in the face. Should have been a foul. And I understand it. People are going to go, well, I mean, you can't make that call. Not such a white son.
If it's Steph Curry, you're making that call.
Yeah. I mean, and this was not like when you watched when you saw it live and you watched the replay, you're not going, oh, that was marginal contact. Like, no, he got whacked in the face. That should have been a foul. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm beyond heated over this. Uh-huh. The game wasn't lost because of that possession, okay? The game wasn't lost because Keegan didn't secure the rebound. There's 18 billion things that happened tonight. Missed shots, the missed free throws. Sabonis missing key free throws, right? So, like, all these things add up, and what's it result in? You lose a game, and you had your chance. You had your chance because Mazzulla was going to gift wrap you this and go, we're going to leave our bench guys in. You're going to make a run, and we're going to let them try to figure it out. And if we lose, who cares? Like, Boston had nothing to lose.
Except gaining experience for those guys.
Right. It's like, oh, you lose a game. Oh, no, we fall to 60-17. Watch out. Milwaukee's coming. They're 13 and a half back now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's not even that many games left. You're right.
And Sacramento, they had to like play perfect. And they didn't play perfect, right? They had a great stretch to get back in the game. And that's what was fun to watch. It was fun to see De'Aaron get it going. It was fun to see him compete. Colby Jones is part of that late group at the end of the game that was in there. Mike Brown decides to go with him. And I thought Colby had some nice moments too. So that was encouraging. And maybe this is a time for him to get back in the rotation. So, if you listen to our podcast last night, I think our irritation level was at like a 9.7 out of 10. I'm just not there tonight. I'm with you. I didn't expect the win. It's a tough thing to do to win in Boston. They had their chances and they missed a ton of shots.
Last night against the Knicks, I was expecting more of the same type of play that we saw in that first matchup. And that was truly matching their physicality, their tone. And it was not matched. It was matched for a second, for a quarter and a half. And then it was just like, let go, done. The blitzes. We already talked about Josh Hart in the paint, all the things. Which, by the way, the Knicks lost to the Bulls tonight, which is even more annoying. I know. But you do look at this game tonight against the Celtics, and not for a second was I feeling confident.
No.
At the same time, I was like, hey, the Kings sometimes play up against some of these better teams, but the Kings are a different team right now. They're without Malik Monk. They're completely without Kevin Huerter, whether you liked him in that starting lineup or not, like that he still poses an offensive threat in a big body. Sabonis has not been playing his best basketball. He's still racking up those double-doubles, which is fun to see, but he's not playing his best dominant basketball right now. It's a frustrating thing to watch right now for the Sacramento Kings, but I don't feel deflated from this one specific game.
I'm with you on this completely. The Kings shot 38.4% tonight. That was their fifth worst shooting percentage of the season tonight. They were 17 of 51 from three, 7 of 13 from the free throw line. So the shots weren't falling. They did have 20 second chance points to the Celtics, 8. I would say some of the frustration for me tonight, though, not only some of the missed shots, you had some amazing looks. Sabonis did have a double-double. He had 16 points, 16 rebounds, 6 assists. Now 73 double-doubles on the season, the most since Moses Malone in the 1982-83 season. But man, they are just packing the paint against him, and he's struggling. I felt like, if anything, the thing that jumped out to me early in the first quarter, not just from him, but from everyone after that slow start, was the indecisiveness of the Kings against the length.
Oh, my right? God.
That's why that first quarter was frustrating.
So indecisive.
The first half of that quarter, you're like, guys, do they have 5 Victor Wembanyamas down there? Like, go at these guys a little bit. Make them work. The Kings were completely indecisive, and I felt like that improved as the game went on for Sacramento, but for Sabonis, I felt like, I don't know if he's in a funk right now, what's going on, but he feels very indecisive down there.
His focus has shifted down there. And when I say that, I remember there was times, even at practice, that we would see him practicing that one turnaround off of one leg with Doug Christie, right? Like, they'd be practicing off on the side, and felt like he was doing 100 of those shots. And what it would do is allow him to create that space and not power through some of these long arms all the time. But it feels like when he is getting it deep, he's going. And he sometimes shouldn't be going and putting the ball on the floor, because then everyone claps. And then when he is getting it at the high post or at the nail or just somewhere a little bit in that higher range, he's choosing to look for a little jumper and or to create for someone else. Where I would love to see, instead of a dribble all the way down to attack the rim, I would love to see a dribble to create that, maybe that contact that you want to create with that big or whoever. So then you can find that, he's beautiful. Beautiful footwork. Find that way to get that turnaround one-footed jumper, one-footed floater, like whatever you want to call it. I've seen him do that, create that space with some of these other bigs in there, and I just haven't seen that in a while.
Well, you saw against the Knicks too, and you're going to see this, especially come play-in time, or if the Kings get to the playoffs, teams are going to say, go ahead and beat us. We'll give you the right. Are you going to go right? And we've seen this in the playoffs before. Hell, we've seen this in the regular season where teams have dared Josh Giddey, shoot the three, we invite you. Or last year during the playoffs when the Warriors were like, Sabonis, you don't have the confidence in the mid-range shot. Your hand's messed up. You're not going to shoot it. Go ahead. We're not even going to guard you. And last night you saw it with Hartenstein where the Knicks were just giving him right.
And
he wasn't taking it.
Nope.
And so my point with that is people, he doesn't have a right. Here's the thing. He does. It's not nearly as strong as his left. Duh. I mean, he's going with what's comfortable for him, just like a lot of players. But he has it. He needs to be confident with it. If they're going to give him that, you are good enough. I mean, you've seen him finish with the right before. I've seen it with my own eyes. He can do it. He's just got to do it.
You know, something else too that was just really annoying, and that's, you know, more talking about Sabonis in the offensive end, but the defensive end, someone mentioned in our chat, how many times did the Celtics do that screen and then they'd slip? They'd slip the screen, right? And he even said at one point it felt like two people were setting a screen and they both slipped because it was just so open every single time. And it wasn't just open because of their length and their ability to be like, hey, throw it up and I got this and there's no help here. It was like, the Kings were always a second too late. They're like, do I hedge on this moment that, you know, hedge the ball and slow them down? Or do I get back on my guy that might be rolling or might be slipping? And again, it was, there's just so much indecisiveness going on there that it was very confusing as to like why they weren't locked in and engaged even on that end of the floor, on both ends of the floor.
Well, Boston did shoot the ball well, though. They were 42% shooting.
Yeah.
They were 12 of 44 from three, 27% in this game.
No, in the shooting, I mean, yeah, of course it was great shooting, but like those moments.
No, I'm saying it's not good shooting.
Oh, I'm sorry, not good shooting. I was talking about the presence of not being felt on some of those slips and everything, though. Like, it was some of the easier shots that they were making in the paint. How many points did they finish in the paint?
38. Not a crazy number. They were 19 of 29, though.
Yeah, it's so crazy when you do look back at these numbers, but there were so many moments where it felt like everything was simplified for them. Like, it wasn't difficult for them. The presence wasn't being felt from the Sacramento Kings defense. I even thought the way that they were swinging the ball around and then Peyton Pritchard would just knock down a deflating three. I believe he was 5 of 10 from beyond the arc. And it just felt like they, even though when they weren't playing their best basketball, they were still the obvious better team out there. And that, to me, was very frustrating.
I think the other thing, too, that is a bit concerning, not just from this game, you look at the three-point percentage again, 33% for Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Their three-point shooting has just not been as good this year. And that's going to impact things for Sabonis, too. That's going to impact things for Fox. It's going to impact things with the spacing, okay? Kagan hasn't shot as well consistently this year. We know about Herter. Monk's, you know, 35%-ish. Like, it just hasn't been the same. And now you're missing some shooting out there. You know, Lyle's missed time. Sasha missed time. So it just and it hasn't been as efficient. You know, last year they were one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league. And since the All-Star break, I think they're at like 35-ish percent. They're 24th in the league. So that hurts you too.
Yeah, it gives you that thought like, yeah, of course they need a sharp shooter. Yeah, they need to upgrade this position and have more length out there. All the things that you can think about on this roster and what they need. But when you do see that three-point shooting go down like this, you think about just how the domino effect, how much it affects this entire team with the way that they try to run their offense, with the spacing of the floor. I mean, like we said, the first game against Utah when Sasha and Trey came back, the spacing looked beautiful. The ball was moving. We're like, okay, against a worse team. And then you just saw it get better against who they won the next game. I forget who it was.
The Clippers you're talking about?
It was the Clippers. Yeah. And it was like, okay, you're like, it's a better team. Even if Kawhi's sitting out, it's still a better team that they were still slinging the ball around, finding some good shots, making those shots because they were more open. Right now, I don't understand why it's so down. But you are also missing someone in Kevin Herter and Malik Monk at this moment of the season.
I'm trying to look at some of my notes, too, to see what else jumped out to me. And I felt like Mike Brown was searching with lineups tonight. We saw a ton of different combinations. The Kings in the third quarter started being down by four. Then Boston explodes. The Kings are missing everything to start. What do you think about them throwing Kessler Edwards in there tonight? We also saw some combinations out there with Sasha and Lyle, small ball five. We only saw Alex Len in the first quarter.
Thought the rotations were a little weird.
Yeah.
But at the same time, maybe that was just Mike Brown searching. And even when we saw Kessler Edwards in there, you know, he only played the 10 minutes. There was times it's not that he looked lost. He looked confused on what needed to be done. There was specifically one of the first plays in the first quarter where he was on Tatum. Sabonis was on Porzingis. And Porzingis came over to screen. Kessler Edwards went under the screen, which was actually fine because Sabonis was hedging, but Sabonis didn't bounce back on Porzingis. Davion Mitchell was not far enough over the nail area of the floor, so he couldn't recover in time to get on Porzingis. But what I didn't like, it was in my mind, it was like Kessler and Sabonis not communicating and not knowing what exactly needed to be accomplished, even in that situation up beyond the arc. KP with a three.
Damn. Yeah, I do like him getting some minutes. I felt like they could have used him against the Knicks a little bit, but, you know, mistakes are going to happen too out there. I want to look at one note. How are the Kings shooting on wide open threes this year? The Sacramento Kings, wow, they're fourth in the NBA in wide open three-point attempts.
Cool.
They get 21.5 wide open attempts a game. Let's see what they're shooting on wide open. They're shooting 38.8% on wide open threes. Jeez. For context, the Celtics, number one in the league, they're shooting 42% on those. So, yeah, I mean, you're getting some looks, and you've got to knock them down. The Kings just haven't knocked them down a ton this
year. Yeah, I don't feel like, you know, it's funny, looking at this game, I'm like, I don't feel like I have a lot more to say. And when I say that, it's not, I'm not like mad. I don't feel like, oh, they did this, then this, and this wrong. A lot of missed shots. A lot of missed shots were going down. And I think the only other thing that we've talked about so many times that we can keep putting out there, they need a dog. They need that energy guy. They need to be making those threes when someone is getting into the paint and spraying out. And you saw that even happen in late game with some of the execution that they had with HB and then De'Aaron knocking down a big three. But like when you don't rally back and finish it all the way to get the W, it's just kind of like, with two more games left on this road trip.
So the Kings lose this one 101-100. The road trip continues Sunday against the Nets. They wrap things up on the road against OKC before coming home for what, the Pelicans, Suns, and Blazers. That,
and the Pelicans, Suns is back-to-back.
That's a back-to-back?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not. 11, you're making that
11th
up.
And 12th.
I'm glad you're saying that, but I think you're making it up. That's cute. It's a back-to-back. What is the league doing to us?
Well, that fifth game, remember, was added because of all the in-season tournament shit.
I'm going to tell you how I'm really feeling tonight about where the Kings stand in the standings. Okay. Because so many people tonight, the Warriors almost beat the Mavs tonight. The Mavs end up hanging on and winning thanks to PJ Washington at the end of the game. Klay Thompson missed a jumper late. But everyone's like, oh, man, Dallas, oh, they won. Could have caught them. I've given up on the top six.
Yep.
I'm not even thinking about the top six.
I'm thinking about that seventh spot.
I'm thinking about staying in seven or eight.
Seven or eight is great, but like...
No. It's simple.
Seven being greedy? Okay.
If you land in 9 or 10, you have to win twice to get into the playoffs.
Seventh, it gives you an opportunity to win one game and be in.
Seven or eight. You win, you're in.
You lose.
You get to play another game. You get another chance. That's how I look at it. If you're in if you're in 9 or 10, you have to win two.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I'm good on that.
And especially with everyone that's there.
And this is what's so tough. So like we can get mad about the Knicks loss or tonight's loss. Oh, they should have had it at the end. No, this is why you're mad about the Washington loss, Detroit loss, Charlotte, Portland. Yep. The list goes on where you're going, you should have won those games. Because if you win those games, we're not having this conversation right now. We're going, oh, man, they lost to the Celtics tonight. That's tough. But at least they're in the top six. But now, with, what, 5 games to go, you are tied with the Lakers after tonight. Yeah. Luckily, the Kings have the tiebreaker on the Lakers. The Kings are in eighth. They're 1 game behind the Pelicans now, who are in seventh. These two teams do play again, but the Pelicans have the tiebreaker. The Suns hammered Minnesota tonight.
Yeah.
So Minnesota loses. So the Suns are in seventh. I'm just going to refresh it. Yeah, that Suns are in seventh. The Kings are 2 games behind.
The Suns are in seventh.
Yes, I messed it up. Sorry.
Yeah. There we go.
The Pelicans are in seventh. The Suns are in sixth. The Kings are two games behind the Suns. The Mavs are now in fifth. Sacramento is three games behind them. So go ahead and throw away that situation. Mm-hmm. If you're Sacramento, you got to finish in seven or eight. A 9-10 thing is devastating. Now, let's also be honest about this. If it holds the way it is right now, you have to go on the road to beat the Pelicans to get in. You lose, okay, you get to go home. But then you have to go home to Sacramento and play either the LA Lakers or the Golden State Warriors.
What is this?
Win and you're in. You lose, your season's over, and you don't make the playoffs. I'm stressed again.
Yeah, why would you just stress me out? It's like, no, and here's the thing. You don't have to be stressed out about it. If anything, you just look at it like a movie. But don't you get stressed during movies? Isn't that your thing?
Oh, anyway? I get anxiety during movies.
So, okay, so don't be like Deuce. I guess if you are a movie person and you enjoy the thrill or you enjoy the story and the drama, enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Enjoy the angles. Enjoy if there's a Steph Curry angle. Enjoy if there's a LeBron in a Lakers jersey angle. Because it is what it is. That's where they're at. They have done this to themselves. Nobody else did this.
Yep.
And it sucks. It sucks.
Well, if you want any good news tonight, Shane in the chat, Malik Monk's biggest fan, says, hey, Malik Monk may not be done. Well, this came out today. Chris Biederman from the Sacramento Bee asked Monk, who is traveling with Sacramento, about a remark made by the Kings broadcaster Mark Jones on ESPN during Wednesday's Celtics OKC game. Jones said Monk is pressing to return even earlier than the 4 to 6 week timeline.
Of course.
Monk said, I really can't tell you that being so early with the injury, but it's feeling good. That's what I can say. Aww. Monk also told Biederman he feels great and better than expected after suffering an MCL sprain in the first quarter of that loss to the Mavs 107-103 last Friday. Mm. So 4 to 6 week timeline reported by ESPN. Monk will likely miss the first round of the playoffs if the Kings make it. Could return as soon as the conference semifinals in the first week of May. But who knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
He also said, I'm not the trainer. I just listen to them. They push it a little bit. It hurts. So it hurt sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. That's just a rehab process, I think. He hasn't chosen a date for him to potentially return from the injury. He said, if I do that, then I have expectations. I don't want to go into it with expectations. Does that make you feel better about the situation? Here's the approach.
What's the
approach? I stopped thinking about the top six. Don't think about Malik Monk. If he comes back, he's back.
That's it. That's why it doesn't make me feel better about the situation. If he were to come back and then have a game winner against the Lakers at home in a play-in game, all the story, the drama against
his former team. There's no way he's coming back for the play. Could you imagine? That would be insane.
Do you love it? That's where my brain goes, oh my God, the drama.
That would be 11 days from now.
So a week and a couple of days. Yeah, it doesn't sound
possible. Goodness.
I know. So, yeah, it'd be fun, but no expectations.
Also, I didn't get your reaction to this. What? This tweet that our boss, didn't tweet this out. Our coworkers over at NBC tweeted out that people are kind of having some fun with tonight. Want to get your perspective on this.
Here's my thing. Are they tweeting out this shit if the Warriors clinch a top 10 spot? Because they better. And it better look just like this without a beam. They better. So, and I will tell the digital team, they better. They better.
It just feels weird tonight because a couple of things, right? So for those who are listening to the audio, NBC Sports California, their Kings account, tweeted, the Kings have clinched a top 10 seed in the Western Conference with a crown emoji. And it's a picture of Fox and Sabonis with the beam and Golden 1 Center in the background with a font that says top 10 seed clinched.
It feels
weird in a loss,
yeah,
right?
And it's No, it feels weird in a loss. Maybe if it was a win, it'd be even then, it's just it's so cutesy. It's cutesy. And I don't know. The Kings are just, to me now, they're not the cutesy story.
Yeah.
Even though it was only 1 year of success, that they saw, and success being pushed out of a after you know, first round of playoffs. But when I see that the top 10 seed clinched, better see that for the Warriors when they clinch their top 10 seed. Better see it. I'm going to be looking. And I love my people there, but I'm going to. Please. And if they don't make it, don't worry. I will.
You know, I know there's so much fear about this potential play-in situation that I am putting out there too. But there's another side of me. Because there's two deuces, right? Yeah. The other cocky side of me, the wrestling persona deuce. There's a part of me that'd be like, how sweet would it be? You get a playing game, you go to New Orleans, you lose. We're all feeling down. And you have to play the Warriors in Sacramento. And you send them home. How sweet would that be if you sent the Warriors home in a play-in?
It would be amazing. It would be so fun sending the Lakers home in a play-in. Like, it would be fun. It would be fun. But, like,
it would be a lot of fun.
But you know what? You know what comes to mind instead of that?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Is Steph Curry dropping 50 in a play-in game and going, bye-bye, night-night, night-night, everybody. I'm still doing night-night until I'm 100 years old.
Oh, that night-night
and
thing.
It's great. It's a great. I just don't like it when it's against the Sacramento Kings.
I don't like it against anyone. He did it against Orlando, I think, or someone else, and it just irritated me.
I like it.
Yeah, it was against Orlando. I'm like, what are you doing, Steph?
I like it.
Oh, my God.
But also, screw you.
Let's see here. The chat, man. The chat's got weird vibes tonight.
Oh, you know? I know.
I wanted to interact with it a little bit, but
we can interact with the game because I do have. A ball is life.
I'm very excited to play that in a little bit.
Oh,
we do,
you dick.
Who's your rock and soul player of the game?
Peyton Pritchard.
Peyton Pritchard tonight's 21 points, his second 20-point game. Side note, Peyton Pritchard's turned into a pretty good player. They gave him an extension. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
Hits threes. He plays tough.
He plays tough.
I like him.
On the defensive end, he plays as tough as he can. Yeah, I'm with you. So it's either him or Sam Hauser.
Sam, can we just mention Sam Hauser for a second? All right, if we get it, all the people in the chat who are so mad tonight, the Kings suck, blah, blah, blah. Let's just find common ground together and acknowledge that this stat line is pretty funny from Sam Hauser. Sam Hauser tonight, this guy let it fly. He had 3 points on one of 18 shooting.
Say how many threes?
1 of 13 from three.
Sam Hauser is my rock and soul player.
You know what I appreciate about Sam Hauser tonight?
Let him fly.
Shoot or shoot. And to his credit, let's be honest, made a huge play. Keegan Murray knocked that ball away from Keegan Murray, landed in Tillman's hands, boom, ended up being what proved to be the game winner. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. So impressive.
So you say your rock and soul player of the game would be Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah, that would be mine.
Well, sometimes I'm not a troll. It's De'Aaron Fox, dude.
What the hell? Well, De'Aaron definitely.
De'Aaron Fox is awesome tonight. Yeah, and this guy was max effort. He was the one guy knocking down shots consistently. 40 points for him, 16 of 29 shooting, 7 of 13 from downtown. He had 20 points in the second quarter. He had 13 in the fourth.
Wow.
He also, at this point, was credited with 5 deflections in this game.
I love the way that he was playing. He was carrying everyone on his back. You could rely on him. I loved what we saw. Loved the last shot, that the last look that he got. De'Aaron deserves to be our rock and soul diner.
He was so good, Morgan.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
You guys got to go rock and soul diner, Morgan.
Yeah, dude. April 12th, there's going to be a big party. So actually next Friday, a big party at Rock and Soul Diner after the game. 10 o'clock DJ. But if you go and watch the game there, you can get a whole bunch of discounts. And you can also get 50% off your entire bill if you go watch the game there. And if you go after the game. So make sure to go eat at Rock and Soul Diner breakfast all day.
Just 6 blocks away from Golden One Center.
But there's also so much more than breakfast. There's drinks, all the damn things. It's going to be fun. There's going to be raffle prizes raffled off.
Yeah.
There we go.
There's going to be raffles. That's a good way to put it. I want to show you this. De'Aaron Fox's shot chart in this game, because we were just talking about him as a rock and soul player of the game. Good balance here. Look at this. Yeah, he took a lot of threes, but you see him, a little midi inside the paint. He was 8 of 10 in the paint tonight with 16 points in the paint.
Good shit
right there. I didn't want to go negative here. I was just going to mention this because I had the stat written down. Sabonis was 6 of 11 in the paint tonight.
I didn't want to go negative, but this did happen. That he was 6 of 11 and he missed his free throws. Yeah, just not the best. Not the best.
But yeah, Fox was awesome. I thought he was fantastic in this game. So good to see him knock down some shots. And how many threes did he hit against the Knicks? Didn't he hit like 6 last night?
Did he really?
He ended up not with a good shooting night overall. He's 11 of 26, but he was 6 of 13 from 3. So, yeah. Just in the last two games, he's 13 of 26 from downtown.
Smooth. Crazy. His shot, especially his deep shot, looks smooth, looks good. I like the way that he's shooting with confidence. And there's been games where we're like, ooh, are you just settling? Well, he's feeling good again, so keep shooting.
I saw in the chat people talking about Keegan Murray. Ed was saying that it just looked like he had no legs with his shot tonight. 4 of 15, 2 of 10 from 3.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice way of putting it. It felt like a lot of his shots were short. And then when he would either get an offensive rebound off of his own miss, or it felt like he was just like scrambling and then he'd put a shot back up, be in the mid-range, it was nice. It was a floater, whatever. He needed to keep attacking. He needed to keep just getting as close as he could in creating.
He finished with 10 points, 11 rebounds. He had 4 assists, too.
Hey.
So, rough shooting night for him in that play late where he just grabs that rebound, be a little stronger with it. Maybe it doesn't get the puck, dude. Do you have a moment of the game? Presented by Sharif Jewelers. I think it was De'Aaron's just second quarter. It was second quarter barrage, and they needed it because they scored 15 points in the first. It was just
no specific moment stands out to me, but I think the moment was the second quarter run.
Yep.
With De'Aaron just being hot, being on fire. Davion had a few nice drives there as well. Like the confidence was just beaming with everyone. So
I like those guys playing together too.
I do too. And Davion's been so much more confident. I know he missed some of his threes tonight that were open. Great looks for him. He's been knocking them down, just not tonight. But yeah, so that the Sharif Jewelers moment of the game, De'Aaron Fox in that second quarter really going off.
Well, this podcast is always presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. You need new windows for your house? There's no better place to go than Northwest Exteriors. They've been in Sacramento forever. Everybody who works there has been there for like 16 plus years. They've got a showroom in Rancho Cordova. You can check out all the windows for yourself. Pick out the right ones. It will save you money on your energy bill. Increase the value of your home, and you're going to feel safer. It's going to make your house feel amazing.
Yeah, it's just make sure you go check them out. Get a free quote today.
Because Morgan,
simply the best, trust Northwest. What if we made that into an emo song?
How would it sound?
You think you are simply the best, but you're
not Northwest.
Oh, I like that. You wish you were Northwest. Not good. Just not good. Just like all this shit that's going on.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Morgan, next up for the Sacramento Kings, they take on the Brooklyn Nets in a game that you got to win that game. You're going to win that game. The Nets are not a very good team. They've had a bizarre year. I remember when the Nets were in town earlier this year and they're kind of struggling. You're like, yeah, but they're a pretty good team. Like, they'll be all right. Well, Brooklyn finds himself at 30-47 this season. Mm-hmm. They have been eliminated from postseason contention.
Yep, not cute. You know, you can always talk about health when Ben Simmons is on your team. But as a whole,
they've had a coaching change. Yeah. Kevin Ollie's running the show.
They have a lot of shit they got to figure out. And if they're in this type of scramble, this type of mess, you got to take care of business.
You know, they might have to trade Mikal Bridges to Sacramento. And it's tough when you have to make those decisions to trade him. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of teams that are going to be after him this summer. I'm sure the Kings have all the pieces that they want compared to all the other teams around the league. So Morgan,
I feel your vibe tonight, and I feel like you're itching to play the game.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, because I'm like, okay. Because it's like, what else am I supposed to say against this team, okay, the Brooklyn Nets?
I don't know if you have any, yeah.
No, I don't have any. I don't have any good stuff except get your shit done. Win the stupid game. Do what you're supposed to do.
Well, Morgan Reagan is hosting tonight on everyone's new favorite game. We call it Ball
is Life.
Oh, we usually have a couple of categories. Sometimes I'm the host. Sometimes Morgan's the host. Maybe in the future, you'll be a contestant. But tonight, I guess I'm the contestant.
Yeah, you are, Deuce Mason. Welcome to Ball is Life. Every time. My bad. We tonight only have two categories.
Oh, okay.
And the two categories are going to be basketball birthdays, but get this. There's only one person there, okay? And I might be dropping a bomb on you. We'll get there in just a little bit. Plus, the other category, fill in the stat sheet. Now, fill in the stat sheet. This portion of the game is presented by Will Z Stats. Support his work on Twitter and Threads. Why do I say that? Well, because I, one, do not have the time to look up all these stats that Will Z knows how to look up. And he digs deep. He makes it fun. Few of these, I copy and paste it, so I haven't even read through the entire fill in the stats section presented by Will Z. So, do you want basketball birthdays or fill in the stat sheet first?
You know, I'm feeling tonight on a Friday night like some basketball birthdays.
Okay. Basketball birthdays.
Yeah.
This guy, Steven Jackson. And I'm not going to name the teams that he played for. Why? Do we have a bomb sound or
we
anything?
We do not have one.
Okay, let's go.
But you want a break? Yeah. Some breaking news?
Breaking news. You also have to do who he played for. So, Steven Jackson, how old is he? One, because it is his birthday today. And two, who did he play for, Deuce Mason? Ooh, I threw a little curveball at you.
Steven Jackson, the host of All the Smoke with our good buddy Matt Barnes.
Amazing.
Steven Jackson, wow. Man, it's been a while since he's been in the league. I'm going to say Steven Jackson is, I'm going to say he is 45 today.
Well, within two.
How old is he?
46.
That's within two. That counts, baby. I get a point.
You get 1 point, okay. But now it is time for who he played for.
So I have to name all the teams he played on in the NBA. Okay. Yes. Indiana.
Ding.
Thank you. San Antonio. Golden State. Atlanta. Okay, this is where it gets interesting for Stack. My guy Stack. Random stops along the way because, you know, it took him a second to find his way in this league. He bounced around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Man, those are the ones that popped to me immediately. I just need to throw one thing out. I'm not going to ask for help from the crowd.
Okay,
yet.
Okay.
He played on two more teams, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
How many teams do you have down?
Four. Okay.
I know.
Wow.
Do you want me to tell you how many more teams?
No, not yet. Okay, so Indiana, San Antonio, Golden State, and the Hawks. I feel like I'm missing like a really obvious one right now. He didn't play in Portland. We're going to go ahead and eliminate that. Did not play with the Lakers. He didn't play in the Suns, Texas teams. There's a part of me that's like he had like some random stint with Dallas, but I'm not ready to commit there quite yet. And then we bounce around the map. New Orleans. No, it's not. Chicago. God, there's like one where he went there and got out of there quick.
There is that one. Do you want me to tell you what coast it was on or what conference?
Sure. I think it's the East.
That one was actually the West.
Wow.
That it was a short stint.
Okay.
Very, very.
I know, I'm almost to the point where I need help from the crowd.
Oh my God, you guys, one at a time.
Stop it.
Oh.
Oh, I know one on the East now.
Okay.
It just came back to me. Charlotte, the Bobcats. Oh, yeah. I just saw that jersey, that orange. I saw it. Ooh, buddy. I've got five of them. I got five on it. Did he play with the Knicks? I got five on it. So you're saying the team on the West, he was only on there for a little bit.
Very, very little time. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to commit to this, and I'm not confident with it, though.
Yeah, what are you going to commit to? Commit.
Houston.
I know. It's okay.
I don't know why I said Houston. I don't know why I say it. Why did I say it?
Because you're probably seeing
red.
Why did I say it?
New Orleans Hornets. One more. And there's how many more teams?
So how many do you have?
I've got five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Indiana, San Antonio, Golden State, Atlanta, Charlotte.
There's three more.
Dude. All right. Now I'm just going to start throwing them. I don't know. I don't know them. So I'm going to say Chicago. I'm over. I lost.
All right. So the teams are Golden State Warriors, San Antonio Spurs, Indiana Pacers, Charlotte Bobcats, Atlanta Hawks,
I got all those.
So, New Jersey Nets.
Fuck, he played on the Nets. That's right. New Jersey.
Milwaukee Bucks.
No recollection of him playing in Milwaukee. Would never have gotten that. I shouldn't have gotten the Nets one.
LA Clippers. Nine games.
What year was that?
That was his final year, 2013-14.
Dude, the ones that always get you are the ones at the end.
Well,
dude, so I'll say this. I would never have gotten the Clippers one, and I wouldn't have got the Milwaukee one. I should have gotten the Nets. I picture him in a Nets uniform.
Well,
not a good outing for me.
I think you know what time it is.
Is it filling the stat sheet time?
It is time to fill in the stat sheet. Now, there are going to be questions. This first one is going to be a multiple choice question. Which of these statements is not true? Note, all stats before tonight's game.
Okay.
A, Domas Sabonis is leading the league in both screen assists and screen assist points. B, De'Aaron Fox leads the Kings in floater area field goal percentage. Minimum 50 attempts. Oh, he's getting deep. And C, since the All-Star break, Keon Ellis leads the Kings in three-point percentage. Minimum 20 attempts. And D, Keegan Murray has made three times as many mid-range field goals this season than he did last season. Which of these statements is not true?
It's Friday, right?
It's Friday.
I'm going to say this. It's Friday. It's after 10 o'clock. I know people listen to this later. Will Z, with all due respect, fuck you, man. This is hard. This is fucking hard.
You've dropped 3 F-bombs.
Morgan.
True.
I wrote these down, so I just want to make sure. One of these is not true.
Which of these statements is not true?
And the four are, Sabonis leads the league in screen assists and screen assist points.
Uh-huh.
Fox leads the Kings in floater area field goal percentage. Keon Ellis's 3-point percentage is the highest on the team since the All-Star break. And Keegan has knocked down 3 times as many middies as he did last year.
Correct. One's not true?
You can call me the basketball mind all you want, but
we're not calling you.
Okay.
So A, B, C, or D. Which one's not true?
God. Okay. I know D is true. Keegan Murray has 3 times as many middies. That's definitely an area of his game.
Good job. He's 50 of 124, which makes him at 40.3% this season. 16 of 45 last season, which would put him at 35.6%.
All right. The next one that I'm going to say is true. Keon Ellis' 3-point percentage. All-star break is highest on the team.
True. Keon is shooting 44.8%, and Davion is second at 44.2%.
And I'm going to say the one that's false here.
Okay.
The final two are Sabonis screen assists and screen assist points lead the NBA, and Fox leads the Kings in floater area field goal percentage. I'm going to say Fox is not true.
Yes!
How about that?
So it is. It's so De'Aaron Fox leading the Kings in floater area field goal percentage is false. Keegan leads with 55.4%, and Fox is at 50.9%.
Great job, Wilsey.
Yep. All right.
That was tough.
You ready for the next one?
We got another one. I do want to read this comment just to get your reaction, okay? Because a lot of people are guessing and having a good time.
Okay.
Tea Time chimes in with, this is the worst. They're trying to cheer us up with this game show.
No. This was our thought process. We said, win or lose, we want to make sure that we're always having fun, right? So you don't have to listen to this portion of having fun.
And a ball is life.
Ball is life, because we have fun.
We've done this win or lose, though.
We have fun going over not only fun stats, but also some fun other games where it has to do with NBA players and their nicknames or their birthdays. But if you don't want to have fun, you don't have to. Also, you don't it, like ball is life, but Kings don't have to like dictate your life.
Thank you.
You can still be happy on a Friday night.
Do we have another one?
Yeah, dude. This one. So this, we have like 2 more.
Oh my God.
But this one is one more longer multiple choice one. And then the other two are just questions. So multiple choice question. De'Aaron Fox had 21 points in the first half tonight. What is the most points he's ever scored in the first half?
This is not multiple choice.
No. Wait, did I screw that up?
Game show host. And the next question, will Morgan Reagan be able to execute this question?
Yeah, I will. Hold on. Yeah, I just screwed up one thing. Here we go. Okay, here we go.
I mean, I know he led last year at that game against Dallas in the fourth quarter in overtime where he took over. I believe he had 28 combined.
Okay.
I'm not mistaken there.
There we go. Okay. Oh, so multiple choice question. Well, where's my... Okay, so we screwed up a little. So that wasn't a multiple choice question.
Okay.
Can we just go to the next question?
Okay, sure. But do you have the answer to that last one?
No.
Okay.
No.
You don't even have the answer. Okay.
No.
We'll get that to another time.
Usually I have time to read these before, but we screwed up there. Okay. Question. Madison Square Garden is home to some of the most historical performances in basketball. Who leads the Kings with the highest scoring game at MSG in the Sac era? Note, it is a tie. So there are two possible answers for a bonus point. How many points did they score? Must be within 2 points.
Wow. This is a great one.
Yep.
And Madison Square Garden.
Can I just tell you, Wilsey even puts in red, note for Morgan, the wording of this may change if someone ties or goes over it tonight. Oh.
It's from the other night, yeah. Madison Square Garden. Most points scored in a single game by a Kings player. You know, it's so interesting about that is there's a part of me, and I'd love the chat to help out on this. Mm-hmm. No cheating. I remember Jimmer Fredette having a big game in Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was enough to qualify, but I do remember Jimmer Fredette getting oohs and ahs from the fans in New York City.
So it's a tie, though.
I get it.
Two.
I get it, but I was just trying to name one.
That's fine.
Wow. Can I? Are hints allowed?
Let's see. Seven. Yeah. Okay. One at a time.
And I think a lot of people are in the chat are saying Mitch and Weber, Cousins. I like where you guys are going with it. I just think it's too obvious, right? Like, and I think that this is going to be one that's going to surprise us a little bit. Like, that, you know. Could it be a Kevin Martin? I don't remember a Kevin Martin game like that, but it could be. Someone's saying Quincy Doobie. Dude, I think Doobie had a big game in New York too. And maybe it was really big for him and he had like 16 points. Man. What's the hint?
The hint is one was a teammate of Chris Webber's.
Wow. Okay. Oops.
I mean, that's a good hint.
Cool. Played with like 700 guys here.
So it's a hint. I mean,
well, I'll tell you who it wasn't. Doug Christie.
What if it was?
That'd be kind of funny. Just a quick story. The other game, I'm sitting on the court before the game, like I always do to watch warmups, and Doug Christie's doing his work out there waiting for the next player to come out who he works with. And so he's just taking like middies and he's knocking down mid-range shots. I'm like, take a three. You won't make it. He goes out there. Doug must have missed like four straight threes.
He was trying so hard. I felt so bad. I'm like, wait, Deuce Mason is getting in your head, Doug. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Okay. Now, too many distractions. Yeah. I think my answer for this, you're just going to go with one that could shoot the rock. The guy played a ton of minutes, as we learned. Right? 40 minutes a night, I believe, in that 03-04 season. I'm going to go with the sharpshooter, Peja Stojakovic.
Yeah. Do you want to get the other one?
I do want the other one.
You said Jimmer?
Yes. I said that's a possibility. I know that was my final answer. Is it kind of a random one?
Do I need to answer that?
You don't have to. So it's not Jimmer. Although now, because I don't want people... Let's see. Jimmer Fredette versus the Knicks.
Why are you looking this up?
I just want to see what Jimmer... Oh, yeah. How about this? The headline. Jimmer Fredette and Rudy Gay lead the Kings to a win over the Knicks 106-101. Jimmer Fredette in the game had 24 points. Off the bench in 27 minutes. See? The basketball mind's still there. Mm. I remembered it.
Validation.
He's getting oohs and ahs.
Validation.
Guy was unbelievable.
He needs validation.
Give me my validation. All right, who is it, Morgan? I give up.
You're so close. The chat was helping, and they did a good job of naming him.
Marcus Thornton?
No.
Oh.
That was so funny. Why? What are you doing up so late? Go to bed. DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins?
Guess the number, though.
Okay, now I'm going to go 37.
36 within two. I like it. Wow. I like it. Wow. Okay.
That was a good one, guys.
I think that's all I got for you. Or I can do one more for you.
Does the chat want one more?
Give me a hell yeah.
So the other night, Malachi Flynn went off for 50 points, becoming the third player in NBA history to score 50 plus off the bench. Name one of the other two players who have accomplished the feat. One of the two. There's two.
Off the bench?
Off the bench.
God, this is probably so obvious.
50 points off the bench. I love.
I'm going to tell you my thinking so far. Okay. So one of them that pops in my mind, and I'm not sure he came off the bench that night, but it was it's a random one, right? Jamal Crawford, I think it was one of the final games of his career, maybe final game of the season with the Suns. He scored 50 in a game, and he's got an incredible story because he scored 50, I think, with them, the Bulls, the Warriors, and the Knicks. 450-point games on four different teams?
Going with Jamal?
There's that. And then I don't know if he's trying to hint at something. Like, I can't remember if Tony Delk, when he played the Kings, his former team, after the Kings elected not to re-sign him, Delk goes to Phoenix. The Kings picked up Bobby Jackson. People were pissed about it. Delk comes back to Sacramento with the Suns, scores, I believe, 53 in that game. I just don't know if he was starting or not. You know what? The chat agrees with me on the Crawford thing. I'm going to go with Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford off the bench.
51.
Was it with the Suns or it could have been somewhere else?
You know what? Will Z did not say who it was with.
Okay.
We expect a lot out of Will Z. Will Z was doing this just for fun. Yeah. Next time, put the team, okay?
Okay, the next one.
Oh, my God. One more.
Off the bench.
Off the bench.
A fitty piece. Do you have the date?
No.
Damn.
I have the... The amount he scored.
Yeah, I think Gilbert got it. And I got to be honest, I saw it in the chat, so I think Gilbert's right.
What?
Derrick Rose? Did Derrick Rose do it? Oh.
Well, I just had to... Sorry.
I didn't officially like put it out there.
I was just letting him know.
Derrick Rose had that 50-point game against the... he was with Minnesota, I think.
But was he off the bench? But no, he wasn't.
Obviously not. Oh, man.
This one, to me,
is
random, where you would be like, well, duh, or something. You're like, duh, I know everyone.
It's not D. Rose, chap. Getting choked up thinking about all this. Okay. I'm struggling with this one. I'm trying to think of some sharpshooters. Lou Williams, to me, didn't ever have a 50
point. Let me just tell you.
Okay.
Unless you want to guess.
Go ahead.
No, please.
No, go ahead. I don't have a guess.
His first name is Nick.
Who could forget Nick Stauskas? Unbelievable. Oh, that's right. Nick Richards. Oh. Former Sacramento King, Nick Anderson. What? Really? You know what the real answer I thought was going to be was Nick Young.
No, Nick Anderson
at 50 off the bench?
Yep. Nick Anderson, 50. Let's see.
Nick Anderson, 50 points off the bench?
Again. I don't know if it was with Sacramento, but I don't think it was.
Well, let's see. I have the story here. Let's see here. Nick Anderson, because you have Malachi Flynn. Where is it at? 50 points on April 23rd, 1993. I was right on the Jamal Crawford one. That happened April 9th, 2019, when he was with the Suns. So, Nick Anderson was with the Orlando Magic at the time. Nick Anderson, man. What?
What made you even say him?
I was just naming random Nick.
That's so funny.
And Nick Anderson came to mind. He played for the Kings, of course. They ended up shot.
He played for the Kings. Okay, two seasons.
Nick the Brick.
Nick the Brick.
Yeah, he was not in shape in Sacramento. It was not a good fit. Ended up being involved in one of the biggest Kings trades ever. Nick Anderson and Jason Williams to Memphis in exchange for Mike Bibby and Brent Price.
Your memory. The way you retain. I love that, like, Nick Anderson even came up just because I said Nick. Like, that's a very common name.
Warren, what's the game called?
Ball is life!
Wow. Basketball is life.
Great job by Willsy.
Well done by Willsy.
Those were tough ones.
I know. And that was my bad. My presentation will get better and better. I'm just, you know, sometimes juggling a lot and then driving 2 hours to get back home and then, you know, trying to do a podcast. But I will promise you that I will make sure I get it down nice and crisp.
Let's just say I'll be hosting the next one, you know? Well, hey, settle down, everybody. I'm just kidding, everybody. Oh, that was fun, Morgan.
Yeah, good job.
Good job, you and Willsy.
You're so fun with this game because your knowledge is there. Where I would give up on every single one. I would have given up on which king had the most points at Madison Square Garden. I'd have been like, De'Aaron Fox, shut up, go.
Boost says Deuce cheated and looked at the chat. Oh, I was looking at the chat for this last one, for the Knicks one, or when I was going over all the nicknames.
Nicknames.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get to some final thoughts on this one.
Final thoughts. I don't know what to expect even going into Sunday. And when I say that, it's not even like a disappointment vibe that I have going into Sunday. It's just like, look, you even had the opportunity of being resilient and finding a way to fight back in this one, but just couldn't find a way to execute in those final seconds of this game. And I just expect more out of this team. And I think sometimes my expectations for them are really high, even though perspective, like they're still a good team in this league. There's just things that they don't do right at times, and they're not a great team in this league. And I want them to be a great team in this league, and I think with some tweaks they can be. So get it done against the Brooklyn Nets, but my expectations are just like not there.
Expect them to win. Come on. I failed to get some super chats. Shout out to Geeky Nana, member again. Same with West Sac Kings fan, always supporting us. We appreciate it. Jana Chess says Monk is needed badly for round one. Prediction, he will return for round one. What do you guys think? So I know I'm Monk's number one fan. Aww. And do you think Fox will be pushing to keep Monk this offseason? Yeah, I'm sure. But Monk's going to do what's best for him, I think. And that's all there is to it. And I think he's got to do what's best for him coming back from injury too. So yeah, he's got to be careful. You don't want to rush it back and re-aggravate it. The guy has a big free agency period coming up. We appreciate that. Mm. Also, my final thought is actually perfect timing for a message that we just received from Gregory. Final thoughts, bring on the off season.
Oh.
And this is where I was going tonight. Because I'm
really?
Well, I'm seeing some of this now.
Okay. Being realistic.
In our Discord, in the chat, on social media. It's this like, this season is just, this season sucks. This is just not fun. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to challenge you. We do podcasts after every game, win or lose. There have been some nights I'm not excited to come on to do a podcast. It's not fun to talk about some of the tough times. They're 44-33. They won 48 games last year. There's five to go.
Yeah.
Probably not going to reach last year's win total.
That's fine.
The West is tougher than ever.
Mm-hmm.
They've let some games go again. They've had injuries. And they're not as good in some ways, okay?
Oh, yeah.
With that said,
and health,
they have a chance to get back to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy these moments because I don't, you know what I don't want to go back to is seasons when we get to January and we're talking about the draft lottery and we're on night chats refreshing Tankathon and going,
Remember that?
Who do you think? I'm just not ready for those moments yet. Mm-hmm. So I can acknowledge the weaknesses. I can acknowledge the issues. I can acknowledge all this shit. But I'm also going to just go, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy this ride and hope that this team gets a playoff series. They get something out of the playoff series. Guys perform in that playoff series. And you have a chance. And if you don't, this offseason, start making some moves to make it better. It's an evolution. You have to evolve it. I'm going to enjoy the journey that we're on because we had 16 years of dog shit.
I love that perspective. And I mean, it protects your energy, it protects your mental health. And it just protects like what this really is. It's sports. It's supposed to be fun. So enjoy the good times. Even if they had got the win tonight, it would have been way more fun celebrating a W. It doesn't mean all the other bad shit still didn't happen.
Right.
Like, we would still be talking about all of it, but it's just more fun to celebrate a win. And that's why I think having that perspective of the fun times and the good times to really hone in on, and just when there is good basketball happening.
Felix says that's a loser's mentality.
Oh, God. Felix?
Felix is a top 10. He might be top 10, one of the worst commenters when things are going bad.
No, worst commenter. Like, I feel bad for this guy. Like, no, you know does what? He have the worst life? Like, honestly, I feel bad. Like, no, because the way you look at things in life and the way that he looks at things, I go,
why? You should not watch sports.
You shouldn't do a lot of things. You really should. Like, why should I go to the gym? I'm not going to get stronger after one time. Bah! Like, it's just like everything is so dark and gloomy. Just like, I don't know, smell a rose. Like, look up at the sun. Sniff some fresh air. My God.
That's why I said enjoy last year, man.
Dude.
Success isn't linear. It's going to be up
just,
and down.
The thinking to me is just like so bizarre. I'm like, unless he's like 13 years old, then I'd be like, okay, like I get it. But even if he's like in his 20s, I'd be like, what are you doing?
He's an adult, Morgan.
Well then shit, Felix, like not the way to live, bud. Let's go to therapy together. I got you.
Sackup says, this is why the play-in sucks. I don't know. I mean, I think it's made more teams like lock in and chase something where some teams may have tapped out earlier. And I think that's the problem is like, it sucks from this standpoint. You're right. In a normal year, you're like, we're the 8th seed right now. We feel like we're in a good position. Yeah. But also, technically, you wouldn't, right? Because you're tied with the Lakers at this point. You'd still have to perform. So it is what it is. I think the play-in ultimately has been great. It's not fun for the teams that are in it, but we've also seen teams in the play-in advance. Weren't the Lakers a play-in team last year? Got to the conference finals. The Miami Heat advanced to the NBA finals. I don't expect that at all from the Sacramento Kings.
No.
But it doesn't have to mean it's all over.
It's all doom and gloom.
I was asked this the other day on a Knicks podcast. Yeah. What would be considered a disappointment to you this year for the Kings? I said, if they get bounced in a play-in.
Okay, that's fair.
And he's like, so if they get to the playoffs and lose in the first round,
that's fine.
You're fine with it? I'm like,
yes.
Yes. Now, would I be fine with it next year? No. But I'm understanding the process. But there's no one that could say to me, hey, they went to the play-in, got bounced. Eh, great year. No, it would be extremely disappointing if the Kings made the playoffs and then did not make it the next year. That's disappointing. Whether the West is better or not, that would be beyond disappointing.
I'm completely with you on that. And again, it's just, you're still expecting things to evolve and to see growth.
Yeah.
But you guys, again, I'm not going to lose the 10 pounds I gained this season in 1 week. It's going to take a lot of months. And if I don't do something each day to get better at it, yes, this is something I've been facing, then, like, it's not going to happen. What? Why? So why are you flexing when I'm talking about my anxiety with my weight gain?
Because I was just noting that since the All-Star break, I've been locked in, dude. I've been going, like, every day. Well, not every day. Like, 4 times a week.
She's down. And she needs like someone to help
her. You're in the gym too. You're fine. Enjoy the journey.
But that's the thing. It's a journey. And you have to like
be physical specimens. Okay.
Or have fast metabolisms like all these stupid men out here. But the point is like you got to work through the process. It's always going to be the ups and downs. You got to work through it. Just like my weight gain.
Good luck on your journey. Also, enjoy WrestleMania tomorrow. I can't wait for night one of WrestleMania. The final boss and the tribal chief.
Oh.
They are going to destroy Stardust and Seth Rollins. They're going to show them why they are guys who belong on the indies. Okay. Some guys are main eventers. They transcend the sport. Those two men, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment 20 years ago and today, the great one, the people's champion, The Rock, and now the man that's been holding the Universal belt for a lifetime, the tribal chief. We're going to tomorrow night on the couch in Philly, around the world watching, acknowledge him.
Woo! What are you selling me right now? He's selling you WWE.
Everyone knows propaganda. WrestleMania is tomorrow. Everybody knows.
Oh my God. And by the way, you guys are all sweet. I'm not looking for compliments, but two, like, there's nothing wrong with waking. My point is it's very normal, but it's like mine is unhealthy. And so that's why it's just like,
you look great.
It's not about how I look. Like, I don't even give a shit. It's just like, I want to fit into the pants I bought and I want to be healthy. I want my heart to pump the right way. I want my blood to be good. I want those things to be good. And they're not with the little bit that I've been gaining.
Well, you could talk about your weight. David saying, pretty sure Deuce colored his hair. I did not color my hair. No. If anything, you're probably noticing I got my hair cut. And maybe, you know, my show side is really short compared to the top. No.
Also, maybe our lighting, too.
Yeah. It could be the lighting. Yeah, we have a little different lighting. Oof. Man, my hair looks good, too.
Okay.
We appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us tonight. We'll be back live coming up Sunday night. We'll be live following Kings and Nets. That'll be another late night one because Morgan's going to be coming back from San Francisco or no?
Yeah.
Be late for that one too. We love you guys so, so, so much. Thanks for hanging out with us, but we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. We'll see you Sunday. Bye.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know, Deuce and Mo.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.